Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
But anyway, my point is, see, that if you sit there and if you think that Satan is really this formidable foe and that he's cut people's hearts out, and if you had any fear or reservation, I guarantee you, you'd be dead in a situation like that. You got to know that Satan is a zero with the rim knocked off. Satan exists and he has power, but all of Satan, now get this, this is what I'm going to try and establish in Scripture today. All of Satan's power is dependent upon you cooperating. He can't do anything to you without your consent or cooperation. If you don't cooperate, if you blow the candle out and go to bed instead of getting in fear, Satan is powerless. He has never made a one of you fail. Satan has not made anybody here be depressed, discouraged, sick. He can't force you to do anything. And this attitude that the church is the one that's the primary promoter of it, where Satan has this superior human power, has actually worked against us to the point that we have been intimidated by the devil. Let's turn over to the book of Genesis and let's just look at some things right here that I think could really change your whole impression about the way this works. In Genesis chapter 3, this is where Satan came against Adam and Eve. And he used the serpent. He spoke through the serpent. But the Bible says in John chapter 8, Jesus said that Satan is the father of all lies. This serpent was speaking lies, misrepresenting God. So we know that Satan was the one who was using him. Even though the serpent was speaking, he was possessed by the devil. Satan was in him. And it says in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman." Now think about this. Why didn't Satan get an elephant, a mammoth, and come against Adam and Eve and try and overpower them, or get a lion or a tiger or some vicious animal and come and try and force them into subjection? Why did he choose the most subtle? The word subtle here means crafty, deceiving, deceptive animal. Why did he choose a cunning animal? Because he had zero power to force Adam and Eve to do anything. And when the serpent came, he didn't come and threaten to bite them, poison them, or anything. He came with words, talking to them, challenging the Word of God. Satan had zero power to force Adam and Eve to do anything. All he could do was come and try and get them into deception. And only if they bought into his lies could he do anything in their life. He didn't come to overpower them. He came to deceive them. And this is exactly what the Scripture says over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means the deception, the lies. The thing that we're fighting is Satan's deception, not him. Satan does not have power. Satan's only power is deception. He doesn't have any power. Most people think that Satan has this superior power and that they are fighting this demonic force that is greater than them. Satan is not greater than you. This is why Satan had to have a body to inhabit. He had to speak through an animal. When in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, when Jesus cast these legion of demons out of the man who is the Gadarene demoniac, they pled with him, "Let us enter into this herd of swine." You know why they wanted to enter into the swine? Because a pig has more power than the devil. They have to have a human body or a physical body to inhabit. They would prefer a human body, but even a slug has more power than the devil. The devil can't do anything unless some body, some physical body, gives place to him. You have more authority than the devil. A pig has more authority than the devil. A dog has more authority than the devil. A moth has more authority than the devil. That usually goes over about like that. You know what? This doesn't fit in most people's theology because we love, again, to say, well, the devil made me do this. No, the devil didn't make you do anything. The devil tempted you. He lied to you. And if it's working in your life, if you're being oppressed by the devil, it's because you are helping him. He can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. Some people think, well, man, this isn't blessing me. You're saying that I'm to blame? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying we have an enemy out here and he's going about and he's lying and he's trying to deceive us. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can't just devour everybody. If it was just up to the devil, every one of us would be sick. Every one of us would be poor. Every one of us would be depressed. Every one of us would be suicidal. Every one of us would be totally messed up. That's Satan's will. But he can't do it to everybody. He has to go about seeking whom he may devour. He has to find people who have bought into his lies. And brothers and sisters, we have lots of people that have bought into the lies of the devil. It says over in Colossians chapter 2, let me look at this passage of scripture. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. The word spoil here isn't talking about like meat spoils. It's talking about spoil you, like you conquer an enemy and you strip them of everything that they have. Take the spoils of battle. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. I could take time. I've actually got about 8 hours worth of teaching on this one verse. And I could take the time and show you that every one of these things are talking about ways of thinking, about your thought life. This is how Satan comes against you. Unless he can convince you in your mind, you are the one that is destroying your own life under the deception and under the inspiration of the devil. But Satan doesn't have the power to mess with you. All he can do is lie and deceive. And this is the reason that you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free, because once you know the truth, Satan's power is totally blown away. He has no power except deception. And when you tell people the truth will set people free. We have given Satan way too much power. You know, let me just say some things here. You're going to have to think to follow me and get what I'm saying. I apologize for making you think. I know that most people do not want to think when you go to church. You just want to have somebody fire you up and get you all inspired and motivated and lay hands over you, wave their hands so that you can be healed and set free and go back to living carnal. But if you'll think, this will really help you. Think about this. Again, I'm not going to get into a tremendous amount of detail because I could spend hours on this, but I just want to say some things quickly. Most people believe that Satan rebelled at God prior to the creation of this world, that there was a pre-Adamic civilization, that in between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, that the earth was destroyed under Satan's leadership, and Genesis 1, 2 is a recreation of the earth. And there's a multiple of reasons why they do that. One of them is because this helps things fit into evolution. To think that the earth has existed for millions and millions of years and the Genesis account is just a recreation of the earth. And so it fits the people who want to buy into evolution. And also it answers some questions about Satan and where did demons come from and things like this. And most people, this is probably the most dominant theological position in the body of Christ today, is that Satan had this kingdom that ruled before Adam and Eve were created, and that he was the ruler of this kingdom, and that God destroyed him. And so anyway, here is this vile, condemned being who was here on the earth, and God put Adam and Eve in an environment and allowed the devil, this demonic power, to just roam in the Garden of Eden where his innocent creation was. To me, that would be similar to you taking your children and putting them in the backyard with a lion and seeing if your two-year-old is able to handle it. Just see how they respond. You know what? Most people would consider that child abuse. To just turn Satan loose on the earth and see if Adam and Eve could overcome him? That doesn't make sense to me. Let me suggest this to you, and I'm going to show you some scriptures on this. I believe that when Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he hadn't fallen yet. That this, he was still in his angelic form. He was still a godly angel. And according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that scripture is talking about angels. And it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels were created to minister to us, saints. They are like servants to us. They are God's messengers. And Lucifer was in the Garden of Eden to serve and to wait upon man, not as this demonic force. God did not turn some evil demonic force loose on Adam and Eve just to see if they could withstand. I believe that that's significant. And that's the reason that Lucifer had to speak through an animal and had to just challenge the Word of God and deceive Adam and Eve. He couldn't force them into doing anything because all of his power was to minister for them, not against them. He couldn't take that power. Also, did you turn over to Revelation chapter 12 and look at this verse. In Revelation chapter 12, and it's talking about the devil, and it's using a metaphor here, a symbolism, and it says in verse 3 that there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Today, I'd like to encourage you to become a partner with this ministry and help us spread this good news. You know, there are many of you who do partner with us, and I want to thank you. We now are reaching over 2 billion people, potential, around the world. And it's only our partners that have enabled us to do that. But there is so much more that we want to do. There's so many people that haven't yet heard this good news. If this has been a blessing to you, if you see the benefit of this and understand how this could help other people, then I ask you to become a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Help us financially on a monthly basis to be able to reach out. We have partnerships available, a lot of information. If you'll call, you can inquire about that and become a partner with us today.